The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Fast to my good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say, whatever's on your mind. Yesterday we talked quite a bit about what's happening on the steam packet. And a note in from Lorraine who said, thanks for that yesterday. Thanks for telling us about the radio doctor. Talking about scabies. Well, all human life is here. It's just one of those things. The radio doctor is back on the podcast at manxradio.com. So the steam packet in the news, certainly in the news. Where's the steam packet company going to be spending its money this year? Details of the ferry operator, our publicly owned ferry operators, income, expenditure and fleet have been published as part of the business plan for 2024, but still it isn't FOIable. You won't be able to send in a freedom of information request about things in the steam packet. So we'll see. Douglas Central MSK Chris Thomas has asked the company about the company and its operations, including the changes to the sea services agreement and what speed the Ben McCree can actually travel at. If you've got any thoughts on this, then by all means do get in touch. It is our company, by the way. The steam packet company is. It was purchased by our government a few years ago, and a jolly good job they did. So let's pay a tribute where it is. They bought it from the Banco Espirito Santo, who'd bought it from the Macquarie Bank of Australia. The Isle of Man government agreed a deal, £124 million. We bought 100% of MIOM, the parent company of the steam packet company. Timbald approved it in May 2018. And let's face it, if they hadn't approved that, if the steam packet had still been owned by Banco Espirito Santo during COVID, can you imagine the size of the barrel that we would have been over? So, fair play. The government bought the steam packet and it served us very well through COVID. Kept the lines of communication and supply open. But what's going to happen now? Obviously, we have the situation of the terminal in Liverpool, and the fact that that has just gone up and 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 up in price. And now we have the situation that at the moment, has the sea services agreement actually been signed? What the steam packet is going to pay to use the terminal in Liverpool? Steam packet affects everybody. I mean, absolutely everybody. Even if you don't travel on the steam packet much, or even once, twice a year, maybe not for years and years and years. Of course it does. Everything you buy on the Isle of Man, apart from services, anything physical that has been brought to the Isle of Man has contributed to the steam packet's bottom line, because everything has to be paid for. The freight has to be paid for. So everything we buy, and therein lies the story, really. The steam packet has been a cash cow. It's been a guaranteed lottery-winning ticket for whoever has owned it over the years, because it will make money. 364 days a year, the steam packet will operate, and somebody's going to get paid. And somebody has to pay for it. So the steam packet now is earning money for us. Well, we'll find out more. And again, any thoughts on it, by all means, do get in touch. Wait to hear from you on text, email, call and WhatsApp. Wilf's first on today. Hi, Wilf.
Hiya. It's just a bit... I had the ring in, and I had very little on my phone, so they kindly rung me back. I was going to ring the town hall, and then I found I had very little on my phone, so I thought I'd get ring to you first and then sort it after that.
Okay.
What it is, a fellow rung me last night when the town hall was shut and all the rest of it. One of the swimmers from down on our beach. There's a dead sheep being washed up in our corner. And the thing is now is I've got to get hold of Town Hall, see if anybody phoned in, told them about it, or seeing as we're responsible for that corner, who ends up shifting the dead sheep? That's what I needed to find out. And the thing is, if it's the Town Hall that's got to shift it, then where does it go? Is two men got to take a truck or whatever and go all the way down to, well, where they get rid of these dead animals? Can't take it to the tip. So the ratepayers have got to pay for that. And I thought of something last night, because I was telling you the other day about there's no wind takes everything away from there,
yeah,
because it's sheltered. But if the beach was put down to the level it should be, then the tide comes into the wall and the tide may take the rubbish away.
I hadn't thought of that. When did this thing wash up?
Last night, yesterday. When the swimmers were there, right, and they were kind of upset with this thing lying there.
And is it it's not still there, is it?
I don't know, because I haven't got enough in my phone to phone the Town Hall to find out. So I've got to, before I go out of the house, I've got to go down to the, well, after I get out of the house, I've got to go down and get another card to put in my phone, because I stick 20 quid in at a time, you see. It costs a fortune to ring a landline.
Right.
It soon eats it up. Anyway, that's just my thought on it.
So we'll wait and see. Yeah, well, somebody's got to take responsibility, as you say. It'll be interesting to see who's got the permission to do it.
That's right. Well, they won't have to have permission to do it, but somebody will have to do it. They can't leave it lying there. So it's got to be done. Anyway, there's another little thing. I was reading the paper here. Again, it's the Pulldewey site again. And it says, developers appeal over the Greenfield plan refused. And I just picked a couple of little bits out of it, which don't make a lot of sense to me. It says that they said that they had engaged world-renowned experts in flood management to design robust flood defences. Well, they were supposed to get hold of me and ask me, and I would have saved them an awful lot of money by telling them, like, you know, just don't bother. But anyway, and then it says, applicant Blythe Church Investments proposed a spine road as part of the scheme that would double as a flood barrier. Right, well, the flood barrier keeps the sea and the river out, but it also keeps the drain water in, but then that's beside the point. And it says, the site should be flood-free, even in the event of a once-in-200-year flooding event of 6.5 metres. That's about 20 foot. Well, if you get it, I've never heard of anything in the past 200 years ago that was that high, because that puts Ramsey underwater. I think I can't understand this nonsense. And it says, among the objectives to the Sobey Riverside scheme was the government's flood management division, which said no homes should be built on a floodplain. Well, that's correct. And Manx Wildlife Trust said it would make a mockery of the island's biosphere.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to play on that. They could have come to me in the first place. I had a meeting with them in the first place, and they didn't get in contact with me no more. I said, I want to see this flood management man, and I will take him round and show him what I've seen in the past. But it never happened, and then the next thing, this plan was in the paper, and then it got refused, then it was in again, and now it's refused again.
And did you charge them for your opinion, Wilf?
No, charge them.
That's the key, you see. If you set yourself up in business as a flood expert and charge them £3,500, that would mean a lot more.
Yeah, but I'm not a flood expert. I can only tell them what I've seen.
Oh, well, there we are.
I'm not an expert on it. But, I mean, this must be, I don't know, it must be dozens of people of my age that's seen all this in the past the same as I have. You know, but it's only me that sort of mentioned it. because I was in the commissioner's meeting at the time of them asking about it. But anyway, there we go.
Is that the end of it now?
Well, I don't know. They might come back again. I don't know. But you see, they're calling this the Spine Road, which starts at the bend just before the sorting office in Ramsey, and then goes straight out into the wet, into the bog, if you like. And it's going to be a road up on a bank, a wide hedge, if you like, and a road on top of it, and that's to keep the flood water out. But there's a stream in there that drains all the time, so that keeps the stream in. So I can't fathom how that works. They're just going to turn the inside into a dub when they do that.
Okay. Well, anyway, we wait to see what happens with it. Nobody's given the sheep a name, have they, at all, Wilf?
I don't know. Okay. I don't think so.
All right. Thanks for calling. Right. Cheers now. It's 18 minutes past 12. What's going to happen to that poor sheep that's been washed up on Ramsey's South Beach as well? Who'd have been those swimmers who found that yesterday? We'll wait and see. And this may be, so whoever's got jurisdiction may be taking responsibility for clearing up South Beach as well. It's not got litter on, it's just got lots of organic stuff. There's loads of twigs and branches, and there was a log there the other day when I looked as well. But anyway, thoughts on that. Thanks also to Henry, who just said, I'm learning so much about the steam packet. I didn't know it had wandered around so much. Oh, crikey, yes it did. Well, Macquarie Bank were the people who bought it when the sea containers kind of disappeared. A Macquarie Bank and Australian pension funds, really, that owned it. It was then transferred to a consortium of banks led by Banco Espirito Santo. I think, were they Portuguese or Spanish? Anyway, Iberian Peninsula, anyway. Espirito Santo, the Holy Ghost, bought it. And so it was then that the Manx government took it on our behalf. And still we wait to find out what's happening. Perhaps you can look at the scope of FOI, and if it's covered, make a request to Treasury for the material they hold about the steam packet company, says G. Well, we'll try and find out, but you just get the opinion, and this is the opinion. Whether or not it's justified is another matter. You may have an opinion on that. Like with the Manx Development Corporation, they're not FOI-able, freedom of information, transparent, if you like. Members of the public, you, me, anyone else, can't ask about what's happening with the Manx Development Corporation or the Steam Packet Company because, just because somebody's decided that's the way that it's going to be. Now, the inference that you draw from it may be different to the inference that somebody else draws from it. Maybe you think that's perfectly acceptable. Maybe you don't. Gary says, the prospect of Ramsey being under 20 feet of water sometimes isn't a bad thing as far as I'm concerned. Gary, that's very unkind, and I'm sure you don't mean it. Department of Infrastructure's Animal Waste Section has a service delivery agreement with DEFA, part of which is to collect fallen stock within 24 hours of notification from DEFA. So to notify DEFA of fallen stock, and you'd assume that a dead sheep on South Beach in Ramsey conforms to that, 687-595. So fallen stock, notify the Animal Waste Section of DEFA, 687-595, and they'll take it away. Gather all the wood on the beach up and give the dead beast a Viking funeral, says Liz D. Maybe they could have a rival to the non-existent fire festival in Peel on South Beach. Thanks also to, there'll be an ear tag number on the sheep's ear ring, and the Board of Agriculture will tell you whose sheep it is if you check the ear tag number. Thank you for that, 561. Animal Waste Disposal Plant will come and collect the dead sheep as they pick up dead seals that get washed up too, says 170. And anybody, here we are, everyone's telling me now, the Animal Waste Processing Plant will come and take it away. So just get hold of them that way. Thank you, Jim Q as well, 917. Yes, the DOI's got a team that removes dead animals And again, everyone, Andy says, yes, has it got an ear tag as well? But let's get back to the steam packet. The steam packet and how it's spending its money this year. Remember, we own it. It only has, well, it has different assets. Depreciating assets, marine assets, i.e. the vessels. It has human resources assets, the staff, the management, directors and what have you. And the other assets that it has is the user agreement of the two link spans in Douglas Harbour. Because without the two link spans, there's no point in the company. They have permission to hook onto those link spans and deliver both ways, outward and inward. That's what the steam packet's got. So, this is Chris Thomas, MHK, who's asked about the company and its operations, including changes to the sea services agreement, and what speed the Ben McCree's actually going to be doing.
In 2018, Treasury assumed all the shares of the steam packet, and the agreement by which those shares are run was published. Treasury has now agreed to publish the 2024 version of that shareholder agreement, and that's very helpful. There seems to be little that's changed. The other question I asked was about how long it would take the Ben McCree to sail from Douglas to Heysham and Liverpool, given the power limitations. And the answer I got back is that it would be roughly the normal time. It seems that the power limitation is less than it was once thought to be, because there were some calculation errors. Crucial thing here, though, is that the Ben McCree hasn't actually sailed this winter. I can't remember it sailing since November with freight and passengers on board. And there seems to be an assumption that the Ben McCree is going to be sold to be replaced by the Arrow. And it's always dangerous making an assumption. And that's why I've been working on bringing all of these issues of the Manxman and the Ben and the Arrow and the Sea Services Agreement out into the open, because the steam packet needs to take Timwood and House of Keys along with it. And most importantly, it needs to make sure it's doing the right thing by the public of the Isle of Man, because it's public money that the steam packet's using for its new vessels and its overall provision of sea services.
There he is, Chris Thomas, talking about exactly... Well, what he wants to know on our behalf, what's going to happen with the steam packet. A note in from John in Port Erin on that subject. Manxman sailings to and from Heysham are retimed today and tomorrow due to tidal conditions. Well, that's strange, because a quick look at the tide tables, such as tidetimes.org.uk, show that these tides are nowhere near the maximum low and high values. They're not spring tides. So the steam packet's vague explanations don't really generate trust in the operation of this lifeline service. Because of tidal conditions, what's it? Surely there's something a bit more specific than tidal conditions. Just a quick word that the UK Met Office has issued yellow weather warnings for wind, rain and snow tomorrow, from tomorrow on Saturday. The entire west coast of England, Wales and Scotland and all of Northern Ireland will be hit. And of course, we're right in the middle of all that. The Met Office, it's Storm Kathleen is going to be with us from tomorrow. The Met Office said it could bring a small risk of injuries and danger to life from waves on the coast. So do be aware of that. The warning covers southwest of England, Cornwall, a lot of Wales, parts of Lancashire and Cumbria, up to central Scotland and Northern Ireland, and in the middle of it, us. And Stephen's on now. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Andy. Good afternoon, listeners. And I would like to just speak about the steam company, if I may.
By all means.
I think that we've got to remember, we've got to have a bit of a history remembering our past over this matter. And if we recall, there was two companies. Manxline was set up, and the steam company had a large fleet serving a lot of good ports, which contributed to the tourist industry and made the island a great place to live and visit. Unfortunately, what happened at the time, if you all remember, was that the freight really offset the cost of some of the unprofitable routes that the steam packet operated at that time. And I think in many respects the company did forget that fact and operated for the benefit of the island rather than the benefit of itself. So I don't think we should forget that. And what happened then, as we all, if we can remember, eventually Jim Sherwood took over the company. He got all the shares, the company merged, and the result was a user agreement, if my memory serves me right, which became the sea services agreement. But what we are essentially giving to this company is a monopoly to operate the lion's share of the freight to the island, which in some regard does still offset some of the unprofitable routes. Now, if my memory serves me right, that was a deal that was set up back in the old days, because I'm sure Sherwood didn't really want to operate the unprofitable routes, but that was what was agreed, I think, between the then government and Sea Containers. Sea Containers subsequently took a dive, I believe, and then one of the jewels in their crown was the steam packet, which is a profitable route, and it was sold, and we are where we are now. But I don't think we should forget that this is a monopoly that we're giving, and in return for that monopoly, we expect some things of the company. I do not think that the company should be subject to constant criticism or questions over its day-to-day operation. That's something that they should be allowed to get on with and deal with. And I also don't think we twitter too much or alter the sea services agreement, because that's the nuts and bolts of what gives us what we've got. It's the frequency of the service to different ports. It's the knowledge that the fares can't rise by too much, and it's the operation of these unprofitable routes. So my view is that there is questions to be asked and debates to be had in the Keys over what we want from the company, and that's right and proper. They're big policies, they're big, the big issues, because there won't be a household in the Isle of Man that won't be affected by the granting of this monopoly. That gives us the, that allows the profit to be made, and we need profit to invest in new ships and run the operation. But there's things that had been agreed in the past, such as making sure that there's training provided for Manx / UK seafarers. That's important, because we've got to remember it's a well-paid job, it's a highly skilled workforce, and we want to try and make sure that these jobs are able to be offered to Manx / UK seafarers.
I agree with when you say that we don't want to know the daily nuts and bolts of things that they're doing, but you would have thought that there would be an element of transparency about it, Stephen.
Well, I'm sure there is transparency if you want, but if you can always get people who would want to pick into it and deal with it on some subjects that has been discussed. Now, I believe a lot of the things that Mr. Thomas is asking are the nuts and bolts of it, and they are big policy decisions, such as do we want to have a standby ship capable of carrying passengers, which is one of the essential parts of the service, or do we want the Arrow as the backup? Now, that's a big ticket issue, and it's right proper that the public representatives discuss that matter and have an input into it, in my view. And there's other big issues. The Visit Isle of Man wants to increase the tourist numbers. Now, what we've got with the Maxim is a tramway service back and forward to Asia. It can't be in two places at one time. So if we are to grow the Visit Isle of Man economy, what type of fleet should it be? What type of ships should run to the various ports? These are another big ticket issues that should be debated by Tynwald. to present to the company, if it's passed, as what we want as an island. Because I think we've got to remember, at times, possibly what the steam packet company wants and what is best for the island will sometimes not be in alignment. So we've got to make sure that what we want for the island is also in alignment with what the company provide. And there's nothing wrong with us having this debate in public. It's perfectly natural, I would say. The big ticket issues should be debated and decided upon, so both parties know what we expect. But to meddle and alter the sea service agreement to make it more favourable, I would say, is not the way we should do the process, because just supposing that the government decided they want to raise some money and sell off a number of the shares of the steam packet company, at that point, the sea services agreement would become most important, I would suggest, because we're granting then a monopoly operation to another operator who will possibly have a different view of what should be provided. Okay. So back in the day, that was back in the old, back in the day when this was first done, it was, I think I'm right in saying that the services that were provided with some of the routes were the trade-off in order to get the lion's share of the freight, and that's something we shouldn't forget.
Okay, all right. Stephen, I appreciate that. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for that. And Michael's with us now. Hi, Michael.
Hi, good afternoon, Andy.
Yeah, good. Separate subject now.
Just on to back up what Bruce was confirming with you yesterday about the disposal of Good Manx beef at the Arata, or the meat plant, as it's called, in Dulles this week.
What happened there?
Well, I drive the cattle wagons, and I have done for 30 years, and I went to a farm, and this has really annoyed me. I don't know whether it's made me annoyed, cross, or whether I'm going to cry. But I went to a farm, picked up prime cattle, and he said, they're the best cattle I've ever put off this yard. So then I went to the next farm, and he was a show winner at the Fat Stock Shows, so that's the type of cattle I was taking in. I got into the Arata, and here were the lads, and they were skipping prime beef. And I just wanted to take that cattle back home. It's shocking what's going on up there. And I don't blame any of the under management. This is middle management and top management.
Well, I think everybody wants this whole thing sorted out. As you say, there's no point in pointing fingers where people's fingers don't need to be pointed. But something's gone very wrong, Michael.
Terribly wrong. Is this what's happening with the health service? When Collister and what's his name, the fellow's in charge of the health service now, have they gone in, smacked the table and said, come on, we've got to book our ideas up? And they've all gone, oh dear, you're shouting at us, these civil servants. But going back to this Abbott, that was criminal what they were doing the other day. It's criminal.
All right.
Like we see on the interface and whatever, butchers can't get their meat. There was somebody in Peel, Tates, they can't get pet food, and they're throwing prime beef in the skip. It's shocking.
All right.
I don't care what anybody says. This is down to middle management. I actually phoned Alf Cannon up when this was happening, and Alf Cannon was away. He phoned me back within 20 minutes. He said, Michael, he said, I didn't disbelieve you, but he said, I couldn't believe it. He said, but what you're telling me is right. He said, I am coming back on Thursday. I have a meeting with the FMA or the meat plant to sort this out once and for all. He said, we cannot be throwing this sort of money at them. The taxpayer thinks that it's the farmers that are getting it. We're not. I've done these live exports of stock to England, and I disagree with it 100%. Well, if that's the way it has to go, we can't carry on the way we are, just throwing it in a skip.
All right. Okay. Michael, I appreciate you calling today. Thanks for that.
But I just like to say that people should know it's not the farmer, it's not the NFU, it's not the staff, that, you know, the lads that work in the hide room, the gut room, the slaughterman, the lads that work in the lairage. This is middle management. If people cannot sell beef in this current climate, they should be out patching the holes in the roads.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate that.
All right. Thanks very much. Cheers for your time, Andy. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers,
bye-bye.
Hello, this is Manx Olympic snowboard athlete Zoe Gillings-Bryer. I want to wish Manx Radio a very happy 60th birthday.
In our quest to remove all single-use plastic from our milk packaging, Isle of Man Creamery cartons, including the new 1.75-litre carton, are now 100% recyclable, made from sustainable and renewable sources. We're the first in the British Isles to offer these new large cartons, and you can pick them up now in local retailers or add them to your Isle of Man Creamery doorstep delivery. Plant-based cartons from Isle of Man Creamery. Better for the environment, better for you.
New builds, renovations, home improvements, commercial and civil engineering projects. Come to the local long-established building company you can trust. Darrell Blake Construction. Well respected, with over 20 years' experience. Darrell Blake Construction can handle any project, from planning to completion, with a professional yet approachable way of working. For your free estimate, call 435 409 or visit on Facebook to view a wide range of work. Darrell Blake Construction. Committed to quality.
Here's to the hard-working heating machines that have kept us cozy. Let's big up the boilers that keep our hot water flowing flawlessly. But now, it's time to give your boiler some tender loving care with a service from Manx Petroleum. With affordable service plans for oil-fired boilers and tanks, you can spread the cost interest-free using our budget account. Make your boiler brilliant again. Visit mp.im for more information. Manx Petroleum, always here for you.
I find it hard to get a doctor's blood test appointment to fit around work.
With my mobility issues, it's difficult to get to a hospital for a blood test.
If you find it inconvenient to go for a blood test, or you need one fast, then contact Top Care Nursing, where a nurse will do your blood test at home or in your workplace. Proud to be an Isle of Man Award for Excellence winner. Just call 628 919 for a free consultation. Or book online at topcarenursing.im.
Do you like the uncertainty of how much your next fuel purchase is going to cost? Are you a gardener or farmer concerned about the past 4 months' above average rainfall? Is it possible to mitigate against the problems climate change will bring, or has that boat already sailed? Energy and Sustainability Centre directors Ralph Peake and Adrian Cowan think they have some of the answers, and they share their thoughts on perspective this Sunday at 12 noon on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. Whether you accept man-made climate change or not, cheaper, cleaner energy must be a good thing. Or do you think it's just an unnecessary drop of Manx greenwash in a mighty overheated global ocean?
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 20 to 1. The relevant people were informed of the sheep yesterday, and apparently it's been collected. That the Northern Dippers were the people who spotted it. Isn't the user agreement available to the public via the Timwell Library? Says 4 to 8. And steam packet have cut the holidays back in Ireland, so we can't go now for our caravan much, as there's fewer ferries going to Ireland now. It costs nearly £1,000 if we have to go to Liverpool and then get to Stena in Ireland, says Julie in Mackled. Mark's on now. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Andy. I've just been listening to some of the comments that Chris Thomas has been making about the steam packet. And I just asked the question, why is he absolutely fixated on the minuscule detail about how the steam packet is run? I don't remember asking the same amount of level of inquiring on the steam packet when the steam packet was in private hands. And now suddenly the main shareholder is a treasury, and he's asking lots and lots of detailed questions about the fuel consumption of the vessels and whether the vessels should sail at certain nautical miles or not. I just feel there's a certain amount of, disingenuousness from Chris Thomas's point of view. I mean, let the government has its structure. The Treasury has appointed non-executive directors to represent the interests of the Treasury as a shareholder, and therefore the Manx public. And those non-executive directors are shipping professionals. I think they have over 150 or 200 years of experience. But Chris Thomas seems to want to bring every single small detail into Tynwald. And that's an absolute disaster, because then what expertise do any of the MHKs have with regards to shipping or a user agreement? And it'll just get lost in detail and bureaucracy. And it seems to me, listening to Chris, he's a technocrat plus a bureaucrat. And that's a very dangerous combination. And I just think he should focus on other things where he'd actually be able to contribute more, and people are more, frankly, more interested in. I'm far more happier about the steam packet being run by professionals than other entities of the government. But it just begs the question, why? Why is he continuing nitpicking on the steam packet? And I just wonder whether it's because he got sacked as a minister from the DOI and he's trying to point score. I just thought I'd raise that. It just never seems to go away.
It's interesting. And the fact that it's now in public hands, or in our hands, I mean, does that give him a freer rein to nitpick, as it were? I mean, he wouldn't say it's nitpicking. He'd probably say they're very important details.
Well, what's he trying to achieve? The question is, what is he trying to achieve? In terms of whether the steam packet wants to sell the Ben McCree or not. I mean, I'm sure the non-exec directors have a good understanding about why they want to do that. And, you know, ships aren't actually depreciating assets. They can actually fluctuate and they can actually dramatically increase in value. And if, say, for example, the steam packet see an opportunity to make more on the Ben, to actually sell the Ben to reinvest into the future of a future purchase of a new vessel in 2030, let them crack on. Otherwise, it'll just get caught in this bureaucratic nightmare. I don't think any of your listeners are a big fan of the Isle of Man government's bureaucracy. And Chris Thomas has this insane appetite to bring everything into Tynwald. I think probably when he's a minister, he'd be less interested in bringing it to Tynwald. Now he's not a minister and he's a backbencher. He wants to bring everything back into Tynwald. And I think he's just, it's not coming across well from my personal point of view.
Mark, are you confident in the management of the steam packet and what's going to happen?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been in shipping 25 years, and the board that they have on board now are very credible. I think they have over 150, 200 years of experience. And the model they've used is not an unusual model. I mean, I would say more sovereign-based funds like in Norway and Singapore, their governments often invest in industries that are critical to the survival. So you take the Temasek Group in Singapore, they will have a shareholding in airlines and telecommunication companies. That would affect them. And the same in Norway as well. So the model is not an unusual model. I think the only thing you could ask is whether the government later on will want to sell a certain portion of the steam packet, but remain sort of a 51% shareholder, so they have overall control. If the steam packet shares came up 49%, I would buy it. It's an absolute good investment. As it is a monopoly, it's a government monopoly, and it's controlled by the CPI index, you know, so it protects the consumer. You know,
what do you read into this pickle over the agreement for the link span in Liverpool?
I'm not sure. I haven't followed it in that much detail, but I presume it's just a renegotiation or from the steam packet with the government in terms, and that could be handled by the Treasury. I don't know, Andy. I don't know that level.
Well,
of detail,
I mean, obviously the DOI has got responsibility for this, and I think the absolute pig's breakfast that's been made of the Liverpool landing stage and the cost increases and what have you, the steam packet may have been conflated into that, and of course that's nothing to do with them.
Absolutely. And they seem to be absolutely bringing the two topics together. I mean, if a steam packet board had been looking after the terminal in Liverpool, this wouldn't have happened. I think most people would agree with that. And, you know, they've delivered the Manxman on budget, on time, during the COVID period, which seems to be forgotten. I've been on board the Manxman. it's a flipping nice vessel. I'm actually leaving today. I don't know which vessel I'm on, but I think it's probably the Mananin. But you know, they've done a good job, and I think this constant desire for Chris to bring it back into Tynwald and waste another MHK's time. I just think he should focus on other things, Andy. You know.
All right, anyway. I appreciate that, Mark. Thanks for calling today.
Cheers. Take care.
Good
bye-bye,
to hear
bye-bye.
From you. Thanks for that. And again, Tricia says, Andy, look, what's happening at the meat plant is far more important than going on about the steam packet. We need some answers about what's going on at the meat plant as well. Regarding the meat plant, says Nick. Regards to meat plant skipping some prime beef, suppose the owners or the upper management have been paid off by Bill Gates. I don't think Bill Gates will be looking at the Isle of Man meat plant that close. But anyway, Nick says that farms have been bought and chicken farms have been destroyed. Is that Bill and Melinda personally that have done that? I mean, that's a kind of train of thought that's going round at the moment. The new ferry terminal in Liverpool, why isn't it open yet for Mananin passengers? When's it going to be open? Says Andy, well, this is down to them negotiating the agreement to use it. The steam packet will be using that. Interesting point is that it's going to be for Mananin, it's going to be for the fast craft. And, of course, Liverpool at the moment are in the middle of building a £25 million cruise terminal where we used to be or where we would have been. So that's, and of course, that's at the bottom of all this. Liverpool wants to get in high-spending cruise passengers. So we've been shifted down the road by about half a mile or so, which will be further to walk, a lot further to walk than we are at the moment. But anyway, that aside, nobody's used it yet. The Princess Half Tide dock where we're going to be is going to be for Mananin principally. Apparently, the Manxman will be able to get in, although she'll be facing upstream, and that Liverpool, the Mersey tide is on an ebb tide, is quick, so we'll wait to see. Apparently, they won't be able to take any freight to the Liverpool terminal, so she'll be on passengers only. And as has been mentioned, Stephen mentioned, the money is made in freight. The passengers really are just something that, bluntly, the shipping companies have to take to get the right to take the freight, which is where the money is. The Pat says, Andy, look, the Manx Development Company, the organisation is set up to benefit. Well, who's it set up to benefit, Pat? With having no tender process, have they had a tender process? Anything that they do isn't going to be value for money for the government. It needs to be investigating to be on the safe side, says Pat. So, well, did they have tender processes, Pat, for what they're doing? The MHKs shouldn't have a say in the steam packet, as most of them couldn't run a hot bath. Never mind a bit. That's Martin's word, by the way. Never mind a business. Leave the steam packet to those that know what they're doing, says Martin on 018. Is it Storm Olivia or is it Storm Kathleen? Well, who'll know, really? This is where you need A.D. Cowan. Leave the steam packet, the running of the steam packet to the current team, says John. They're producing a profit for the people of the Isle of Man. They are experienced. But tell me, what is their plan? What is their plan for the year? Well, the woman who's been looking at it is from Manx Radio News. She is Tessa Hawley.
The 2024 budget forecasts a 6.7% fall in earnings for the company as cost increases of 10.1% exceed revenue growth of 5.1%. This is despite revenues increasing broadly in line with the 5.4% fare increase permitted by the Sea Services Agreement. It follows a year in which the board agreed to hold increases to 5%. The business plan reveals a cost increase of 4.7 million pounds, which the company says is a reflection of the continuing high inflationary environment, particularly in the first half of the year. The increase also reflects the additional cost of holding the Ben McCree as a backup vessel, as well as the cost of holding the Arrow under ownership, whilst the company attempts to reach agreement with the Department of Infrastructure to replace the Ben with the Arrow. The board says it believes that the retention of the Ben in semi-permanent layup will reduce her reliability and incur substantial substantial future maintenance costs. Other noticeable cost increases include £1 million on fuel and additional costs attributable to the new Liverpool terminal. Capital improvements include a provision of £790,000 for further upgrades to the Mananans passenger accommodation. That's in an attempt to align the passenger experience with Manxman as far as possible. There will also be £370,000 spent on IT. That's for work on an e-booking system alongside work on a mobile app.
Well, that's where the money's going in the future, and we'll see. It is now a publicly owned company. Treasury is the main shareholder. It is owned for the people of the Isle of Man. So where do we go from here? Well, Steam Packet are more than welcome to come on Man in Line. I'd love to chat to the people from the Steam Packet, and they're more than welcome at any time just to come and chat and tell us what the bright new future is for the Steam Packet. And tell us, really, what they think we need to know. Does the Manx government own the land where the new sea terminal is in Liverpool, or are they leasing it off a landowner? I'm concerned that a long-term lease could become very expensive in the future, says Charles. Well, the whole thing is owned by Peel, isn't it? The Peel properties people, they bought the old Mersey Docks and Harbour Board. So Peel is the company that owned that. They also own Heysham as well. They also own up and down the Mersey, both sides. Wirral Waters, I think, is one of their big things. So that's it. We've got the lease on that. I just want to bring something to your attention, by the way. If you're interested in the future of education on the Isle of Man, and it is, the fact that your view is being sought on aspects of the education system, including catchment areas, additional educational needs, and the use of mobile phones in school. Now, much has been made about the use of mobile phones. And remember, this is not just about making phone calls. It's about taking photos and sending them. The results of the Education Amendment Bill consultation is going to modernise areas of existing education law and policy. It's hoped that amendments to the Education Act 2001 will help meet the needs for the delivery of education provision in the future. Now, the consultation is available at the consultation hub at gov.im, and responses can also be submitted via email or on paper copies as well. The email address is DESC, Department of Education, Sport and Culture, DESC, policyhub at gov.im, or you can get a paper copy if you're around St John's. That DESC Policy Hub is at Thai Slowalian on Foxdale Road in St John's. Now, the topics covered in the consultation: additional educational needs, the routes of appeal, the emergency closures of school, religious education, governing bodies, home education, homeschooling that is, admissions and catchment areas, and the use of mobile phones. So this closes, by the way, on May the 10th, Friday, May the 10th. If it's something you're interested in, perhaps you'll take part in it. I think they'd like you to.
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Avishan Rish.
A Gilg, the Manx Gaelic. Chinian Amera, the mother tongue of Elian Vanin, the Isle of Man.
Avishan Rish.
You can catch up with more of Manx Radio's Manx language programmes in the weekly podcast, Avishan Rish. Say that again.
Avishan Rish.
Shane, that's the one.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 5 to 1 on Manx Radio. Remember, on Monday, special Man in Line, constituency Man in Line, as part of the fact that we're halfway through this Cannon administration, where all the constituencies have been represented, and each constituency's pair of MHKs is invited into the studio to meet and talk about their constituency and answer questions and pass their views along. Monday, we're in Douglas South with Claire Christian and Sarah Maltby. So if you live in Douglas South or you have a question regarding Douglas South, then Monday. And in the meantime, if you want to get a message on the answer phone, as you heard, 682-631 on the answer phone, or out of hours, email maninline@manxradio.com. Otherwise, it's on the phones, text, email, call and WhatsApp on Monday for Sarah Maltby and Claire Christian. Just to let you know, the Balasella lights have gone, says 450. And is there a new beach forming around the Bee Gees statue on Douglas Prom? Is it the stuff they're taking from around the Empress a couple of weeks ago? I don't know. Regarding the tidal conditions, neap tides aren't as high or low spring tides, but spring tides are always at midday. Neap tides are around midday when the boat docks in Heysham. The issue is obviously lack of dredging in Heysham Harbour and Channel Keith. And the channel says, Keith, the Onk and Sparky, who knows all about it. I was on the Manxman a couple of weeks ago. She was doing 17 knots in flat, calm water. As for getting information, it's only they that can put the 2 pennies worth in, says Des. So thank you, Desmond. Well, the man in line is open. If the steam packet wants to chat on Man in Line, they are more than welcome to come and have a chat. We'll try and get to the bottom of what's happening at the meat plant, but obviously something is going wrong there. So, but we'll find out. We have put questions in, but, well, thanks to Chris Quirk on the phones today. Back tomorrow. Open line. WINT.